Hello. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited you guys are here. Spring break. Everybody got haircuts on spring break. Everybody came back looking good. So good job, everybody. Trying to upkeep that. Hey, that was cool. That was a cool thing. Hope you guys do it. 168. Romans 168. Hey, I don't really have anything to say, so we're going to be done. No, I'm just kidding. I hope that keeps going. Cool. So I'm just excited to be here. Man, answer to prayer already. We've been praying. So I've been reading the Gospel of John. Has anybody read it recently? Okay. It's amazing. And I don't know why, I kind of sleep on it sometimes, but multiple times throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is essentially saying about himself, or people say about him, like light and fire. Like they say that he's light of life and life, light and life. I don't know why I said fire. Because I wrote it down, but that's not even true. So Jesus is light and he is life. And one thing we've been praying for this week is that there would just be that would be true for us, like that we would be light and that we would be life, like Jesus in us. And it's just fun, like being here and lots of energy and all that type of thing. It could be easy to come back and like disgruntled because spring break's over or whatever. It's been like a week, so kind of get over it. But I'm just super super stoked about that and grateful for y'all. So thank you, Jesus. I really do believe that every single day is an adventure with Jesus. And this is kind of new for me, but if I keep saying that, I'm going to keep believing it, and then I'm going to keep looking for it, okay? So every day is an adventure with Jesus, and tonight we're going to be talking about, if you've come here to hear something new, it's not going to happen, okay? This is going to be, in a sense, same old, but I don't say that to don't turn your ears off, okay? This is probably the most important thing one of the most important things we talk about, okay? Every sermon has pointed to this sermon. Like most of y'all small groups has pointed to this sermon. Like, this is just us. This is my prayer that we are just supplementing what you already are learning. Okay, this isn't going to be, oh man, that's cool, that's something new. Like, this is going to be a different angle of what your small group leader's been saying, of what your band leader's been saying, about what we've been saying all year, honestly. So I'm stoked about it. So what we're going to talk about, maturity, okay? We're going to talk about maturity. So, question, what does Jesus say that it takes to be one of his disciples? What does Jesus say that it takes to be one of his disciples? Any guesses? No one wants to be wrong. That's exactly right. What else does he say? Okay. No one wants to be wrong. But Abraham was right. But there's other things he says. So in John chapter 8, he says, if you want to be my disciple, you will abide in my word. Okay. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you will abide in my word. Okay. In John chapter 13, a couple chapters later, this is a little cheating, I guess, but he says, people, they will know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. Okay, so if you want to be my disciple, you abide my word, and then you'll love one another. Okay, and then the third one, he has many of these. In Matthew chapter 28, he tells his disciples, go and make disciples, right? Go and make disciples, okay? So three ways that Jesus says that you could be one of his disciples, or you could be known as one of his disciples, are abide in my word, love one another, and go and make disciples, okay? Does that make sense? You guys okay? All right. So real easy. What we want to do today is draw on your paper a triangle, okay? Three sides, three corners. Classic triangle. And at the top of it, write the three reels. Okay, the three reels. All right. Hey, check it out. I realize most of y'all could probably teach this, but it doesn't, I don't care. Like, this is so important. Like, this is so, I want to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. This is important for us to understand and learn while we're in Chi Alpha, but if it stops there, it's a waste. Okay? Like, I want to seriously think about this. So, at the top of it, you write real what? Devotional life. Number one, devotional life. Nice try. But on one of the other sides, what did you say? You can put?
Responsibility.
Real responsibility. Thank you. And on the other side, you can put real community. Yeah, thank you. Cool. So real devotional life, real community, real responsibility. Okay? I have said this. And I've heard people here say this, and I've heard people for a long time say this, and so we're all guilty of it. When we talk about small group, or we talk about church, or we talk about different things, right? It's like, oh, man, I really like this, but, like, I want to go a little bit, what, deeper, right? Have you heard this, said this before? We've all said it. Okay. But when we talk about the three reels, I really think that this is like the deepest thing we can talk about, okay? Like when I think deepest, it might not be the most complex, right? But like when I think deepest, I think like roots, okay? Or like foundation. And man, if this isn't our root, if this isn't our foundation and it's something else or it's like trivial, you know, like to get to talk about that stuff, it's fun. Hey, like I remember walking in a movie theater one time, having like an incredibly deep conversation with two of my friends. And it was like blowing my mind. And it was awesome. And I'm not trying to like hate on that. Okay. But this is like the deepest thing we can talk about. Okay. These are the bedrock. These are the root of being a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus, I you know, you mentioned something that he says, if you do this, you'll be my disciple. Not once. I'll give you a couple examples of things he doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, hey, when you figure out the best way to explain the Trinity, then you'll be my disciple, right? He doesn't say, hey, when you sort out how much sovereignty and how much free will is like the perfect amount, predestination, then you'll be my disciple, right? Like that stuff, let's talk about it, let's think about it, let's have fun. But these are the things that I want us to become experts in. Does that make sense? Like seriously, this is what we need. He says the three things I mentioned, abide in my word, people will know you by the way that you love one another, and go and make disciples. He says, hey, if you want to love me, if you want to know the depths of my heart, get these things down. And then get good at them. And then get better at them. And then just keep getting better at them. And don't worry about anything else. Like, this, it's very simple. Simple message tonight, okay? I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll keep going. Jesus, we love you, God. Yeah, thank you that you call us to be your disciples, that you don't make it overly complex, that you don't make it overly hurtful. Like you really do want what's best for us, God, and you're kind and you're gentle. And I pray, for everybody here, that they would hear your voice tonight as we talk about these things. We love you. We're grateful for your presence. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, so you got these three things, and there is only one way that I can express to y'all what the Lord has kind of like been showing me about these, okay? It's like, I can't say it. I tried to say it, like I've had multiple conversations today, and it's been like almost frustrating because I can't quite articulate what I'm trying to say. And I can kind of see some stuff in my mind, but it like doesn't make sense with my words. And so several years ago, and I know this can fall flat because we got our phones, we got our TikToks, we got our reels, and nobody watches movies anymore, okay? You don't. Nobody watches movies anymore. It used to be, and it doesn't matter, like it's not better or worse, it's just different. It used to be, it used to be you could just talk about a movie and everybody would understand what you're talking about. At this point, there's like a billion movies. most of them are trash, but we still watch them. And so, like, everybody could watch a different movie and not be on the same page. It used to be a less saturated market. And I will say, there are some movies that you should check out, and this is one of them. A series called National Treasure. It's actually incredible. Not really like ironically, like it's not a joke. Like Nicolas Cage was a meme for a while for some reason. He's a good actor. I don't understand. Watch Con Air, watch National Treasure, and watch like three of his other movies, and you'll see he's a good actor. So I'm not talking about National Treasure tonight. I'm talking about National Treasure 2, which is a little less known, but is a great follow-up as a sequel. And basically, they're looking for the like lost city of gold, okay? Just like you would, right? And it's not, everyone thinks, where's the lost city of gold, right? Like it's in South America, Mexico, something like that. Yeah, but in the movie, don't spoil it, it's in one of the Dakotas, okay? It's in, so naturally that's where it would be. So I wanna show this video, and then I'm basically gonna reference the video for like the rest of the time, but this is like imperative, okay? So we're gonna kill the lights, get the popcorn out. I won't say that. And then, oh, that's what's up. And then Abby's going to hit us with this clip. It's not 7 minutes.
Look at that. Looks like...
Okay, so did you see the trap they were on? Did y'all see it? Were y'all able to see it, everybody? Did anybody not see it? We'll throw it back. Okay. Whoa, what is that?
What do you want me to do?
Stop! Oh, that looks weird. Sorry, it's going to be washed out for a second, but one of my friends is going to fix it, I'm sure. Okay, so I wanted y'all to see that trap, okay? So it's this big rock on a centered point, okay? And I was thinking about this, and I was like, okay. So we're talking about the three reels, okay? It isn't trying to get one of the three reels to 100 and then get your other three reels to 100 and then get your other three. It's like a dynamic. I don't know if this is a real term. It's like a dynamic balance, okay? So it's kind of like this thing. Christopher said it really well. It's like the idea of like being centered, okay? But I'm not going to go into that. I hope it makes sense. With the three reels, if you put that kind of like think of the triangle as being the trap that they're on, and then the thing that it's on is Jesus, okay? Like that's the center point, the integration point we would call it. It's not about trying to get balance in value. They all three are equally incredibly valuable, right? It's not like, oh, real devotional life, that's the most important one, so I'm going to do that. As long as I have that one, it's good. And I know I'm kind of like saying a lot, but like this is the thing that we need to get. It, if you get into a place where it's steady, that's awesome, okay? Okay? But pretty soon, something's going to happen. We just had spring break. The summer's coming up. You might be graduating. You might have a different workload. Your friends might be new friends. You might have old friends leave. Something is going to change. And so there has to be some type of like shifting and adjusting and flexibility in our hearts and our lives to where these three things need to not compete for our attention, but we need to make sure that these things are centered in a way that is like good. Does that make sense? Like, is this weird? Okay. It could be weird, but so what we're talking about is maturity. When we talk about the three reels, we say What is the sign of a mature olive tree? Does anybody know? Olives? Okay. Nice try. Flowers? Does someone say flowers? Nice try. All right. I don't know what they said, but the proof of a mature olive tree is baby olive trees. Okay? Baby olive trees. So everything that we're talking about, when you become a disciple of Jesus, that's amazing. And there's no shame in, hey, you just got saved, right? Like, you don't know everything yet. Like, there's no shame in that. That's dumb. It's if you've been doing this for years and years and years, and there's no fruit to show for it, okay? There's no baby olive trees. There's no disciples to show for it. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Sweet. So what I'm talking about in maturity is, in maturity would be having that dynamic centeredness, that dynamic balance of all three of these things in my life, right? All three of these things in your life, all three of these things in your life, okay? And when things happen, whatever that looks like, maybe it could be down to like, I got sick this week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to throw kind of like something off a little bit to where one of these three things is going to be affected in a way that maybe I didn't anticipate. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. I'm going to stop for this. I'm going to come back to it, but I feel like I'm going to start belaboring it if I don't move forward. You guys are awesome. Hey, so that was a little scary. Sorry, I forgot to say there was like a scary part in that with the bones. So... All right, cool. Hey, all right, cool. So what are we talking about? This is, I feel like I've been talking a little bit jargony, and I apologize for anybody who's new and maybe hasn't heard this stuff before. So I'm gonna go through for everybody, not just for whoever's new, because this is important. So I was just talking to my boy Ben, and he basically was like, hey, I'm learning, I'm growing. And I was like, bro, this is amazing. Like, you're literally what I'm talking about tonight. So I didn't say that, but it's pretty sick. So I was like, hey, Ben, how was your break? And he was like, oh, it was awesome. I finished a book, and I just finished this other book. Multiple people told me they were reading over spring break, which is really exciting. I guess you can't be like, hey, I was on my phone a lot. Like, you got to say the highlights. But he was telling me specifically what he was learning and reading. And I think you said almost like verbatim, I don't want to just read to like know more. I actually want to read because I'm like, I want to know more about God and I want to be closer to Him. That is what real devotional life is. Perfect example, okay? When we say real devotional life, that could include reading, praying, worship, journaling, different things like that. But primarily, it's going to be reading the Bible to know what God is like. Okay, that's got to be the meat of what your real devotional life looks like. A real devotional life is proof of a hunger for God. Okay, a real devotional life is proof of a hunger for God. There's no other way to say, man. To prove, you could say it a million ways, okay? But to prove that you're hungry for God means that you're spending time reading the Bible. It means you're spending time asking questions. It means you're spending time praying. It means you're spending, you know what I'm saying? Like all of these things. If that's not there, then it's not a real devotional life, okay? And I'm all about, I don't really care if this isn't present in your life today. I just want us to be honest. Okay, I just want us to be honest, because the only way forward is through being authentic and being honest and upfront with ourselves and with God to say, okay, hey, here is the thing. And this is like a big, hey, I love you guys. I think God really cares about this. Let's be honest about what we're talking about and then shoot for these different standards. Does that make sense? Okay. Our devotional life is just a life devoted to Jesus. It's loving him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? When I'm talking about hungry for God, a real devotional life would be desiring intimacy and depth of relationship with Jesus, not just stopping at being acquaintance, not just stopping at attending rally or checking the list if someone asks me I'm a Christian or if I'm going to go to hell or heaven when I die. That's not the answer. I'm talking about really having a friendship with God, cultivating one where we actually pursue one another, okay? So I know that God's pursuing me, but am I pursuing him back? Am I learning more about him? Because honestly, he's infinite. You can't stop learning more about him. It's amazing. There's a million different. I'm not trying to have like real and counterfeit because that would take all night. Like counterfeits are infinite. Okay, the real is like the one thing we're talking about. So, a counterfeit to doing this, is like, oh man, you know, I'm just not that hungry. That's bad. If you don't have an appetite, then you're sick. Okay, and so not having an appetite for God is like a warning sign. Like, hey, we need to get this ironed out. Like you're probably sick somehow. Okay, so motive in this is everything. I mean, Ben, you could seriously come up here and say like all of this because you just told it to me. But it's why I'm reading. Okay, it's why I'm praying. It's not for my own. Oh man, I'm just so out of whack. I need to have peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a bonus, but I'm not pursuing God so that I can get peace. I'm pursuing God so that I can know him and be friends with him, okay? Otherwise, yeah, who knows? So, personally, I do these things every day because I have made it a habit, or you could call it a discipline, in my life, okay? I really do pursue God every day. I want to be in the Word. I want to do this. And days that are difficult or busy, or I wake up late, or I get woken up by one of my kids or something like that, I'm still going to prioritize these things. Okay? I do it. I make it a priority because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I might not always feel like doing it. Okay? I know. Hey, you guys can stone me after this. I do it because I know that this is a surefire way that I can be friends with God. And that's truly what I want. I want to have a hunger for God, and I want to develop and cultivate a hunger for God. Spending time with God for the right reasons is never a waste of time. Okay? For real. Like you won't. I've never once been like, bro, I just prayed way too much. Like, what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? So, having a life devoted to God is the goal. It's not just setting aside time for me to read. You know what I'm saying? It's not a class. This is like love. This is like real friendship, real relationship with someone who I can know forever and I get to be with forever and who really is like my life's culmination. Like everything about me is because of Jesus and for Jesus. So does that make sense? Like he needs to be that. Okay, so that's real devotional life. Okay, real community. Real community looks like this. Well, I'll say this first. You won't have, and you know, we're using these terms real. I think that's an important aspect because all of these things can be counterfeited, okay? So real community would be, first and foremost, I want to say this because I think this gets skipped sometimes. It is, I have a friendship with God. And because of that, now I can have friends with people who are also have a friendship with God, okay? There's a little bit of like exclusivity in a sense there. To have real community. Okay, I'll expand on that in a second. Counterfeit community is all around us. Like, you don't really need to be educated on what a fake friend would look like, okay? I think, at least for me, it looks like, I just think guys do this really well, which is not, like, a compliment. like, go out. Like, today is the beginning of some people's favorite time of year. It's March Madness, okay? And it's been really fun doing some brackets with some people. But I could go out onto campus and talk about my bracket and get someone else to talk about their bracket for like 25 minutes. And I'd get to know their name, where they're from, and we're talking and we're having like go way back. We have inside jokes. We have like all these things, right? All because of like some stupid thing that may or may not even happen. It's like a dream that we're talking about together. And I think guys can kind of do this, because going deeper than that can be a little bit more difficult, right? I don't know. I'm not a girl, so I don't know what it's like. Maybe you could be like, no, it's the same. But I truly could spend all my time making and cultivating counterfeit friendships if I really wanted to. Mostly just because I'm kind of loud and I like popular things. Okay, it's not that difficult for me to like have a conversation with someone. I had a ton of friends in high school like this. Our friendships were based on like affinities. So like the sport I was playing that season, the class that I was taking at that time, my neighborhood, like all these things were going on, but they were all based. So we were seasonal friends who kind of used each other when we wanted to. I don't think it was a malicious thing. It was just kind of, that's what happened. And as soon as that season was over, it was like, all right, hey, I'll see you next year when we have track practice, you know, or whatever. But there wasn't sticking around through tough times or depending on one another. And I'm telling y'all, this will just exhaust you. It'll run you out. To act like that's the real thing. If I tried to do this right now, because I have brothers in my life, for real, this would just seem so weird and like fake, and I could tell. Does that make sense? And they probably could too. So like I said, real community is being friends with God first and foremost, then finding out who else is friends with him. Oh, you're friends with God too? Hey, let's hang out. This is, yeah, basically saying I really think anybody could go to a random town in South Dakota, if they have towns, I don't know. And you could be okay. You wouldn't even feel lonely. If you're friends with God, you wouldn't feel loneliness for a couple weeks. And it would be fine. But there's something about friends. There's something about brotherhood or fellowship that's almost like intangible. It's God's fault, okay. He designed us to become more like him and experience him most in the context of community. Okay, so that's like real community. It's not just about talking about my favorite band. It's not just talking about the book that I just read. Okay, it's really talking about him and people that love him. If you have godly friends, then you're in the best place you could ever dream of. But if you aren't friends with God, then you won't be able to really partake in that fellowship in the richest way possible. Okay, you're gonna kind of miss it. It's gonna seem the same. And I actually kind of want to say this really quick. If you're here and you're not friends with God, and a lot of us started just like looking for the feeling of friends near us, but we don't develop and cultivate real devotional life, then it really will turn into like a book club, and the book would just be the Bible. Like it if we are not pursuing a friendship with God, this could become the same thing. And I think a lot of times it can be masked. Counterfeit friendships can be masked with religious masks. But if we really pursue these three things and fight for all three of them to be highly valued in our lives, then we're going to be a good spot. Does that make sense? Okay. Cool. So now we have real responsibility. I would just call this the call. Like this is when we talk about family and army, this is army. Okay. This is to me, this is the fun part. Okay. It's grassroots. It's not about, oh, hey, you should come to this service. Right. It's about, hey, check this out. I'm going to tell you what I know about Jesus, like what I've been learning about him recently. This really does work in unison with real community and real devotional life, because it's let's talk about Jesus together and then go somewhere where there's other people who would be interested in hearing this as well. Okay, so I think this is this is just all throughout. I've been kind of sitting here, but like in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, an example of this is real responsibility. Basically, there's these two brothers, and they meet Jesus. And Jesus turns to them, and they're like, hey, where are you going? And Jesus turns to them and says, come and see. And then they basically go get their friends, and they're like, what are you about to go do? And they're like, come and see. Okay, so being a disciple of Jesus is all about come and see. Okay, John chapter 1, John chapter 3, Nicodemus is like sneaking around in the shadows. He wants to meet with Jesus at night, and he doesn't want to be seen, and that's fine. So basically, but later on, we see Nicodemus later honoring Jesus with one of his friends that he's brought into this. Okay, John chapter 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman, and she basically hears about Jesus and believes he's the Messiah. And what does she do? She has to go tell everyone she knows. So it's all come and see, come and see. Jesus is supposed to do something in our heart when we meet him for us to go get other people to see him as well. Okay? It really is not just a me and God type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like it has to be us. Okay? It has to be us. I really think the mark of following Jesus is bringing other people in. Mary brought Martha, Simon of Cyrene. He has two sons that are in the book of Acts. Like, so he actually tells his family about Jesus. Paul has like a ton of people that you could look at that he's telling people about Jesus, right? All throughout this. And this is where we get this idea. What God does in you, he wants to do through you. Okay. What God does in you, he wants to do through you. It's not just for me. And that would be really cool, I guess, but it's not how it works. Like we are like a family, and we're a part of a family. Too many people are kind of concerned with, you know, how is my walk with God doing today, right? How am I doing? What is this like? Like we hear about this everywhere we go, right? Self-loathing, no. Self-love, self-care. You could just call it selfishness, right? Like it's just all about me, 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 me. And when you get your eyes off yourself and onto others, you will grow consequentially. Like, oh, oops, I'm growing, and I was really concerned about you knowing Jesus, but I accidentally grew a little bit. Like that is how God has kind of designed this thing to work. A sure sign of Christian maturity is when a believer's focus shifts from the health of their own spiritual walk to that of others. Okay? And this is not like, this is for everybody. Okay? Like this is not, I'm talking about a disciple of Jesus. I'm not talking about a small group leader in Chi Alpha. I'm not talking a band leader. I'm talking about like everyone who says, hey, I want to know something about Jesus. Like this is where you're, this is what you're on the road to. Okay? Hopefully. There's a verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, and in that verse there's actually four generations of people who have been brought to Jesus. I got brought, then you got someone, then you got someone, then you got someone. That's what this is about. It really is like I've heard it described as like a good virus. Like it's going out and it's like spreading, right? And that's what we want. So broke down each one of these three things. And all of them are good. Like, all of them are good individually, right? But all three of them need to be present. And that's where we kind of come back to that, like, balance trap thing, okay? All three of them work together. Like I said, it's like a centered dynamic balance. And another sign of maturity is to be flexible and adaptable, okay? It's family and army, okay? And you guys, this is kind of what I'm, like, really hoping for tonight. You have, everybody here has a lot going for you right now in this sense. You have, you know, you have small group, You guys have, you know, in your small group, you have friends that you're hanging out with that you could ask questions to that are also, like, pursuing God. You have small group night. You have a rally. You go to church. You could have your own personal devotional life. You have band. You have tribe. You have, like, breakaway. You have salt. You have all these different things that we, that you kind of have right now. Okay, so a lot of this stuff is going really well. And this, probably more than you know or appreciate. And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? But here's like the truth, okay? It's going to be gone pretty soon, okay? It's going to be gone pretty soon, very soon. And when you go, when you graduate, like I'm not going anywhere tomorrow or anything like that. But when you graduate, where is this going to be? Oh, okay, well, it'll be at church, right? Maybe. But I think it's less than 2% of churches in America really fight for discipleship, okay? And so if we believe that this is what we're supposed to be doing, that's not going to be the place to go. So it's going to be, it has to be start in me. Does that make sense? And this is like, so it's all going to be gone soon, and you guys are in danger, okay? Warning, red flag, red lights, alarm, like warning, okay? It's coming. The danger, this is not the danger. What God is doing right now, what he's doing in your life is real and it's incredible. Don't listen to any lies that say that's not true, okay? The danger is when I leave and I'm not around you guys anymore and things get hard and that thing starts going crazy, you know what I'm saying? You're starting to lose your balance. It's going to be really easy for you to think, and it's been, like, I'm not saying you, I'm saying I've watched this a lot, okay? And I've had this thought. This is just a Chi Alpha thing. This is just a college thing. This is cool. It worked. We made our ministry really big. Like, who cares? I really don't care about that. The danger is that I'm not getting these three things deep enough into my own heart that they're becoming a conviction and they're something that I cannot live without, okay? Something else comes along. I'm rattled. Well, this is enough, right? Like, I have a few Christian friends. That's enough for me. Me and my family, we read our Bible every day. That's not enough, okay? Like, it needs to be all of these things working together for us to be out of danger. I really think you'll always revert back to your habits, which are the things that you do without thinking. So if this doesn't become a real conviction in your heart, when something gets rattled, you're just going to go back to, oh, I just need to go to church on Sunday. Or I just need to start not doing things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just going to be this kind of weird thing. And so I heard this recently. I think it's brilliant. It was a guy, he said, we don't rise to an occasion, we fall back on our training. We don't rise to an occasion, we fall back on our training. What that's saying in this instance is saying, hey, what did I actually train for? As a student, what am I getting into my heart? What am I really developing as a conviction? So I'm not going to ask anybody to answer this out loud. So spring break was a revealer of what is normal in your heart. Okay? Spring break was just, what, 8 days ago? 9 days ago? 10 days ago? Something like that. It was it doesn't matter. Spring break was a reveal of what was normal in your heart. So how was it? Okay? Were these three things a part of your everyday life? Are you happy? Are you content? Are you satisfied with where your heart is? Looking back that week when I was home or when I was working a lot or when I was, things were different. My stuff got rattled. You know what I'm saying? Did I balance out really well? Did I center it in or was it off? Does that make sense? Summer is coming and it'll be the same thing. It'll just be longer. I've had this happen many summers. More than I'd like to admit, I get home when I was in school, get home from my apartment, and nothing's the same. I don't have the same friends. I don't have the same roommates that are, like, asking me about Jesus. I don't have these things, you know what I'm saying? and I start to demature, okay? And so I get rattled, and I kind of give up. And I just kind of get down on one of those things. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just do this one thing, right? But the maturing process needs all three of those things to grow. Does that make sense? So the habits and practices I put in my heart are going to be like the true priorities, okay? So, you know, he says a ton, but Chi Alpha is a training ground. And what we are hoping is that this would be something that is strengthening your spiritual stature, okay? It's strengthening your spiritual stature. So when we talk about these three reels, when we talk about maturity, when we talk about all these things, it's, hey, I want us to be strong, centered in Jesus, so that we can have all three of these things in our life kind of popping off whenever they need to, right? The Bible talks so much about wisdom and understanding. And I think this is part of it. Like I think when we talk about going deep or whatever, that's where we think wisdom would be, right? Like the deeper, the secret wisdom is over there. But really, like, wisdom and understanding is getting these things down, okay? It really is like getting these, becoming experts of these things. You don't have to get overly creative. Oh, man, how could I be a real good disciple of Jesus if I just learned Greek? Or if I, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's fine, but that's actually maybe not going to help you, okay? You don't have to get overly creative to figure this out. It's just adapt these things in your life and don't forget these things, okay? I realized after some conversations and thinking about this, I actually ask God where I need to like recenter my balance probably every month. I have like a lot of different response. Like, we all have different stuff. You know what I'm saying? I have different stuff than you. You have different stuff than me. That's going to kind of like throw me off balance. Probably every month I'm like, Lord, like what am I weak in right now? Like, do I have real devotional life? Okay, sick. Do I have real community? Hey, you should probably hang out with your friends more. Okay. And it's just that easy. It's just like a really, really simple thing. Maturity is not an all at once thing. That's why I want this idea of like sorting out when things move, kind of refocusing. It's not an all at once thing, and it isn't supposed to be. It's meant to be a process that grows all things at an appropriate rate, okay? So that way we don't get injured. That way we don't get really good at something, and then all these other things kind of have to catch up to it. You're going to have, at all times, that really shaky trap thing. You're going to have one of those things probably stronger at all times. Then you're going to have another one. And you're probably going to have one of those things that's like a little bit weaker at all times, okay? And that's okay. But there should be some of them at all times. Does that make sense? And the goal would be to excel at all of them in that moment. Does that make sense? So if I have all the time in the world, then I could probably spend 2 hours with Jesus every day reading. But if I all of a sudden took on this new thing and I met and I moved and I this and that, well, then maybe spending 45 minutes with Jesus is like the most I could do right now. Does that make sense? So don't get so stuck in a rut. Just learn to be flexible. Learn to be adaptable. Does that make sense? Are y'all okay? Is this like okay? I think this is fun. So. If you only have two of these, it's you could call it like imbalance, right? Like it's not good. There's danger in each one of those. If you have devotional life and community but no responsibility, then you have no call, okay? There's no burden on my heart. It looks like this. It's as if we all are, it wouldn't even be this. It'd be like if you went to small group and it was like everyone you grew up with, and it was everybody knew one another and kind of put up with each other. It's all family, right? And there's no empty chair. There's no outward focus. There's no, hey, let's get this guy in my class, like, doesn't love God. Let's, like, get him to come hang out with us and go hiking. And then he can learn to have a relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's what that looks like. It's two, what do they say? Two out of three ain't bad. Have you heard that? So in this sense, two out of three is bad, okay? Like two out of three is bad. So it's no birding burden. Band, you guys can come up. Devotional life and real responsibility, but no community. There may be instances where this is in your life. All of these three things, there may be instances, okay? But if you let these things happen perpetually and you have no community in your life, but you have the others, you know so much. Man, you know the Bible. You know every answer to every question. People are like flocking to hear you speak and all these different things, but you have no accountability, okay? Guys, it just gets weird. And you begin to disciple people your mind is like discipling someone else's mind, and there's no real accountability, so there's no real character purity that's going on in this community, okay? You could get isolated, and then it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that holy person did that horrible thing. It's like, well, really? Like, they didn't have any friends. It shouldn't be that big of a surprise. I think all of these are imbalances. They're not good. I think this is probably the most dangerous one because it's the one I've seen the most, okay? You don't have brothers to tell you that you're being dumb or rude or anything like that. Like, you are just kind of living me. You say it's me and God, but it's really just me. And then if you have real community and real responsibility, but you have no devotional life, one of my friends calls this, you're a mosquito. Okay, just take. You're like sucking all the blood out because you just go to something. You oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. Let me tell you about my, okay, can you pray for me? All right, I got to go. Like that kind of thing. No, like it's not good. Like you're not, that's immaturity at its finest, right? This is like, in a worldly sense, this is what like social justice becomes. We need to fight activists. Everybody needs this. This is such a bad thing. But there's no centeredness in Jesus. And so it's all about man and getting man to be better. But there's no real response to man becoming any better without God. Okay, it's impossible to happen. And so any of those things, mankind over all things, is what this looks like. So when you're around, when you begin to mature, and look, I'm not saying you need to be absolutely the most mature, but let's grow towards maturity. Does that make sense? And when you begin to do this, you'll come across somebody in all three of those that has one of those imbalances, right? And your part is not to be cruel, okay? Oh my gosh, they are blah, blah, blah. They have no responsibility. Your part is to inspire them. Dude, you don't have a devotional life. I'm not going to say that to you right now, but check out this book. You should read this book with me. This book's awesome, blah, blah, blah. You know, like get them excited about the things that you're excited about. Or, hey, you don't have any friends. Come hang out with me and my friends. Like this is going to be awesome. We're going to go do something rowdy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not a hard, none of this is this hard? Is this hard? Is this really hard? No, it's so easy. One of my friends that I already mentioned earlier, who's a stud, just told me, I wish I had more responsibility in my life. I'm trying to do this better. Hey, bro, you don't have any responsibility in your life. Let's go share our testimony with people on campus. It's like, it's not a difficult thing. Let's go to a booth. Let's blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not, just find a way to do this. You might get called to, mature people are rarely understood or interpreted well by immature people. So you're going to become that guy. You're going to become that girl, okay? Inevitably. I'm not just talking about now. I'm talking about in your work. I'm talking about when you graduate. I'm talking about in your family, right? You may mature past your parents. You may mature past your pastor. You may be the most mature person at 23 in your entire life, spiritually speaking. And that is awesome. But we need humility, right? Like, does that make sense? Okay. We've all been weak in these things, and we've all grown in these things. So God will speak to you about these things. But remembering, like, this is the fun part, okay? This is the adventure that I'm talking about that we get to take with Jesus every single day. Because it's not balance. It's not, okay, I did it, static, stay the same, forever, right? Like it's we get to figure it out. So the band's gonna play, and I have two questions that I want you guys to look at. Everybody, look at these two questions, okay? The first one is, what are you strong in? Which one of these three things? This is like brag on myself. Like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty responsible. So what am I strong in? And the follow-up to that is, and I'm, you know, ask your friends, hey, what would you say I'm strong in? Or ask the Lord, hey, like, what, I don't know, what would you say I'm strong in? And then write down one way that I could inspire people to grow in this area. Does that make sense? So if I mentioned all those things, don't just copy me, ask the Lord, it'll be better anyways. And then the second question is, what are you weak in? Okay, does that make sense? And then you say, what am I going to do to grow here? What am I going to do to go from 6 to 7? Not from 6 to 100, but 6 to 7, okay? Right now, what am I going to do today, tonight, tomorrow morning? What am I going to do to grow in real community, okay? And that's it. That's what I wanted to do tonight. This is how I want to respond. We're going to worship after, but I just want to give some time. You guys can pray, ask one another, hey, is this dumb? I'm always asking that question. Hey, is this dumb? I was thinking about this, and most of the time, it probably looks like I'm just like fishing for compliments, but I just think I'm really dumb. So as we're doing this, you can talk. Like, it's okay to ask the person next to you, ask your small group leader, ask someone in small group with you, hey, what do you think about this? Is this weird? You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend some time praying and asking the Lord, but really taking this seriously. And then we're going to worship, and then we'll be done. Sound good? Cool. We love you, Jesus. We're grateful for you and for your presence. God, I pray that you would just speak in a way that we would, that we would understand you and your voice, God. We love you, and in your name I pray. Amen.